The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Love is not self-seeking. That's what we read in the famous love passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But what about our God-given desire to be great? Deep inside, all of us have a desire to be significant, to be important, to be the very best. Even the original apostles of Jesus were not immune from this. They had this desire. Often in churches and congregations, people get this idea that in order to be a good follower of Jesus, you have to be meek and mild and pretend like you have no desire to be great at all. Well, we pastors have developed a very specific technical term for this kind of idea. It's called stinking thinking. If you have a desire to be great, that's because God put it in you. Now, if you think a desire for greatness is something that good Christians should not have, you're wrong. Jesus teaches differently. This is just a myth. And you know, this myth is busted. In fact, Jesus actually encourages his disciples to be great. Jesus says, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. See, Jesus says, don't try to be great. Don't try to be the greatest. No, Jesus simply teaches them what true greatness is and then says, go for it. Love. That is the greatest job that we have, according to Jesus. And Jesus wants us to excel at it. Love is not self-serving, but love serves others. See, if you want to be a really great lover and experience the best, most fulfilling relationships in your life, you need to strive to be a great servant, the best that you can be. This Lent, we've been working through Rick Warren's 40 Days of Love campaign with small groups and with sermons. And the thing about this study is for us to really wrap our minds around what love really is. Not what we think it is, but what it really is. Because it's the most important thing in the universe. Now, if you haven't been able to join a small group for this study, that's okay. If you're interested in it, you can go on the internet, on YouTube, and you can watch all of Rick Warren's lessons. I guarantee you that they're worth a look. And I promise that they will be far more rewarding to you than watching funny cat videos. So far, in the past weeks, we've explored some key insights that God wants us to know about love. First, we learned that God wants us to love with the same kind of love that Jesus has for us. That's sacrificial love. Second, we learned that busyness in our life is the enemy of love. Third, we learned that loving like Jesus is impossible without tapping into God's supernatural help, which God freely provides. And fourth, we learn that real love requires God's judgment. See, we are called to discern and to test all things, but the final judgment on people's thoughts and motivations, that belongs to God alone. And God has given that to Jesus. So we need to let Jesus be the judge. And so today, we're going to look at a fifth insight about love that God really wants us to understand. And that is that great love requires great service. Now think for a moment about some of the most loving people that you can imagine. Names that might come to mind might be Mother Teresa or Gandhi, maybe Martin Luther King Jr. These people, they were full of love, but you know what? They were also very ambitious and very humble. See, Love in action is service of others. The people that are great lovers are great at serving. And so if we want to experience the fullest relationships that God has for us, we must love God and love others practically with service. That's the key. That's real love in action. And God, he doesn't want us to just do it a little bit. God really wants us to excel at this, to be fantastic at it. In fact, God says that it's not good to be half-hearted or mediocre when it comes to this, loving and serving others. In fact, Jesus wants us to try, each one of us, to be the best lover on the planet by being the best server that we can be. Now, being ambitious is not a problem here in this. God intends for us to be ambitious in serving others. That's part of showing Jesus to the world. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches this. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts a bushel basket over it. No, they put it on the lampstand so that it can give light to the whole house. In the same way, that same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works that you have done and give glory to the Father in heaven." Now, I think I lost my mic. How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I tell you, this technology is wonderful when it works. When it doesn't, it's not so good. Okay. So, this idea of letting your light shine out, that's serving. See, serving other people is important. And here's something that really gets confused sometimes about serving other people, is that serving other people means to serve people that are all around us, not just our family and our friends and people who we might think are our people. It means serving others that are in other groups that we don't know that well. See, we are expected to serve and to be served by our own people, right? Even wicked people serve their friends and family. Now, the most visible love, the kind of love that Jesus wants us to show to the world, is when we go out and serve people who are not our people. That's why it really does take some ambition to serve well. Now, let us take a moment to just drill down on this idea of selflessly serving the other for just a moment. What does it really mean to be in service of others? Because it's not as straightforward as it seems at first. Well, simply put, serving others is meeting the needs of another person. Service for others is not merely just doing nice things for other people to fulfill your own need to be useful and noticed. That's not what we're talking about. It's about serving others' actual needs. Now, others' needs can be physical, they can be mental, or they can be emotional. Some examples of physical needs are things like clothes and food and money and shelter. Mental needs are things like knowledge, awareness, instruction, and clear boundaries. And emotional needs are things like safety, security, companionship, and significance. Now, an important point to make about service of others is that it doesn't really count if you are serving people with the needs that you think they have without asking them. This is an important point, because it happens a lot. And doing this is actually kind of selfish. Really, it's more about your need to be helpful and to check something off the list so you can be a good Christian than it is about helping another person. See, you must meet the needs that people actually have. And this requires asking questions like, how can I be helpful to you? How can I be helpful to you? Let me share an example. Now, let's just say a young couple in a congregation has triplets, and it's their first baby is a triplets. Okay, several people in the congregation are moved by their plight, and so they start a meal baby page for this new family. Now the only problem is they never really asked the family what they need. They just went ahead and did this anyway, thinking of course they'll just want people to bring them food. So people start showing up at this couple's house every day, bringing multiple meals for them, which is normally pretty great, right? But here's the thing. This particular couple loves to cook. In fact, they're all about cooking. And the couple uses this as a way to get through the day in and day out, no sleep, screaming babies all the time. And so they end up cooking a lot of meals together, and they also are receiving a lot of meals. And so what happens is a lot of food ends up going to waste. This is an example of people not really meeting other people's needs, but just doing what they think other people need. It's a lot of work to serve people well. It's easy to fall into a trap like that. You know, service done well really requires a drive and a passion. It requires asking questions. You have to be a little ambitious because a lot of people, they like to put you off at first because they don't think you really want to serve them. You're just asking to be nice, you know. So they say, oh, I don't really need anything. And so it can be difficult. How can we possibly do this? How can we serve others genuinely and selflessly? How can we love them like that? Well, one way that we can really help ourselves to love and serve others like that is to get rid of the stinking thinking in our minds that keeps us from serving other people well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to help, by busting three more myths about service that keep us from really truly being the greatest servants that we can be. Okay. Myth number one. The first myth is, there is no way that we can compete with those who are naturally gifted at being more selfless and are more helpful than we are. This is just not true. In fact, service of others is actually an individual sport. It's not a group sport. The proof of this is made plain in Romans 12 and 3, which says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. In other words, when it comes to serving others, we can all compete because God has given us all a different measure of faith and different gifts. It's kind of like golf. You get a handicap. So no matter how many strokes you take to complete the course, you can still compete. You are ranked according to your ability that's been given to you by the Holy Spirit. So it's actually quite possible for somebody who's been given few spiritual gifts to serve much better than somebody who's been given a lot of spiritual gifts. You can compare yourself to others sometimes in this way, only if it's helpful for your process, but not if it demotivates you, right? Because this myth is busted. Every single person can compete to be the greatest servant and try to be the best because everyone has a different measurement. Now, myth number two is that being ambitious and bold and trying to be the best in serving others is going to make me an arrogant person or a checklist person who doesn't really care about people, but more about being the best. This also is not true. See, if we are truly practicing being selfless servants, we will meet other people's needs, and they will become more important. And we will end up changing. See, this kind of selfless service that we're talking about actually makes us very humble and makes us kind of slow down and listen to all the needs that people have, all the needs that they say that they're having. So someone who's just simply executing helpful tasks, trying to tally them up, is not really going to be serving people well. So if you're serving people well, you're not going to fall into that trap necessarily. See, Paul helps to debunk this myth in our scripture this morning by encouraging us to outdo one another in showing honor. See, it says, "Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord." You see, serving others and loving them shows honor more to the others than to yourself, right? And so you will always constantly be trying to put others in front and recognizing them, show them honor more than yourself. That act alone will make you humble. Now, additionally, when we are ambitious in serving others, we also are serving God, because God is another person. And so when we study the Bible like God asks us to, when we really get into and listen for God's word, that makes us love others a lot, because we realize how much God has loved us and does love us every day. And so this myth is definitely busted. Being ambitious in serving others will actually make a person humble and will cause them to be more caring if they're truly trying to serve selflessly. Now, the third myth this morning about serving is that if I focus on being a servant of others selflessly, then I'm going to neglect my own needs. Now, Tom Holliday does a great job of debunking this in his book that's called The Relationship Principles of Jesus, that is partially what this 40 Days of Love study is based on. In fact, Holliday says that exactly the opposite is true. He says, the more we seek to serve God and serve others selflessly, we will actually be meeting our own needs better and in a better way than if we tried to focus on meeting our own needs. I know that sounds a little strange, but his argument is based on this idea. As we work humbly to serve God and serve others, we will actually start to feel our own needs less and less. See, we will become being comfortable in whatever situation we are, in being first or in being last. And we will be comfortable in letting God use us wherever we end up, whatever our situation is. See, instead, if we focus on our needs first, it's a never-ending cycle, because it simply magnifies our needs and makes them seem bigger, right? They continue to grow faster than we can hope to meet them. The only person that can truly fill our deepest needs is God. And God promises to do so as we seek his kingdom by being loving and humble servants to others. See, Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This myth is also busted. Focusing on selflessly serving the needs of others is actually the best way to meet your own deep needs. It's not neglectful. Now, I hope that debunking these myths about serving others has identified in us some of that stinking thinking that might keep us focused on ourselves and not focused on serving the needs of others. And I hope preaching this sermon removes some of those same thoughts from my own mind this morning that keep me focused on my own needs as well. One thing is for sure, love requires action. It's not just an emotion. This action is serving others selflessly for no other reason than just to meet their needs. This is truly a radical concept in the world that we live in today. Now, these others, they must not only include our family and friends and the people that we think are our people, but we must have enough ambition and enough drive to go out and serve the other, those people that are not necessarily our people. We are allowed ambition in this. In fact, Jesus wants us to have ambition in this because Jesus wants us to be great servants. After all, we are all made in the image of God, and God is great. So go ahead. Try to be number one servant. Try to be the best that you can be, the greatest servant on this entire planet, and see what happens. I believe that your loving relationships will increase and that you will actually be more filled up in your life than you ever expected that you could be.